You might want to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 just for a moment. And as we've been sharing together, in the light of the Old Testament, all looking into the future and what they saw and didn't see. And now, so we're picking up the information in chapter 4. Remember in verse 1, let a man so account of us as ministers under rowers, like you think in a big ship, the rowers down underneath, the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, those who have custody, they are to exercise a responsibility in outworking and understanding a given ministry. Our ministry is to exercise the mysteries of God, and we're to do so, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful as a way of life. From start to finish, you want to be a faithful steward, outworking your responsibility, having the mysteries of God in your hand. So, and we were looking at them to understand as that's our stewardship. So, and we share together, looking from the Old Testament and coming forward, that Israel under Moses, Deuteronomy 29, etc. When you come to they're going to cross the Jordan River, and Moses makes it clear that they have not been a believing people as a nation for 40 years. And he makes it also clear that after his death, it's going to get worse. He makes it, you know, he has no thinking of where it's going to get better, and as you go down the course of history. And so therefore, and we did, and we looked at together in the light of all that, we shared together as we looked at all those things, that what is the mystery? Well, the Old Testament, what did they know? They certainly knew about discipline. They knew judgment. They had no problem with that. Judgment. And they understood the law. May not believe it, may not practice it, but boy, they knew there was the law. And they knew there was the kingdom. They had no friends. The people that wanted to read and pay attention to what the prophets said, they certainly knew. God told them there was a wonderful future coming ahead. And they also knew the judgment. So there's no question that they were going to be judged. They had no question about that. So now, and they knew the tribulation would come, time of Jacob's trouble, etc. They knew all of this in part. They knew it in part. In other words, it wasn't locked in. They had it. They could read it like Daniel did in the book of Jeremiah to understand the 70 years were about to be finished, as we read in Daniel chapter 9. Now, so here we are looking, and they understood things, but they didn't believe them. They didn't understand them. So therefore, they're always in unbelief, always having information, always having the books, always having access to what they needed, if they took it and believed it. But they didn't do that. They didn't believe. Therefore, the 10 tribes in the north, the Assyrian captivity. The 2 tribes in the south, the Babylonian captivity. All of it, then the 10 tribes in the north, nah, Assyria is not going to get us. And whatever. And the south, the two, Judah and all of the last king, No, we're not going to get it. Nebuchadnezzar really isn't going to level the city. But he was going to level the city. And they just didn't believe. So, and did they understand the cross? They understood that Christ had to die on the cross, clearly in Isaiah 53, etc. They had all of that. They did. But, so, there's no mystery. They had all of these things. They had them. They had, on the second coming, they had to come. He had to come. He was going to come at the end of the tribulation, and they would know that they were looking for judgment. They were looking for his judgment, etc. Now, didn't have the details we have, but they had enough details. They had enough information. It just didn't do them any good. So the problem was that they didn't, as they went, the Jews had rejected, what did they do? They had rejected the cross. That's what they did. That they didn't see. It was there. What's the mystery? Blindness. Now, let's look at that just quickly so you see it. And if you can, over in Romans in chapter 9, 10, 11, Romans. Romans and in chapter 10. And picking up, if I may, we'll do chapter 11 if we can. And in chapter 11, you know, Israel is there. And so we're looking to understand, remember what mystery is, the mysteries, that which was not understood, could not be understood, except God would give it to somebody to know. That's a mystery. God was going to give something, information, that no one else had about how things are going to go, and the information is tagged as a mystery, because the Jewish nation did not have that. The disciples for 3 1/3 years did not have that in the same sense that they're going to have after the resurrection. So, in chapter 11, picking up, please, going, if I can, to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, remember now, this is the looking at 9, 10, and 11 have to do with Israel. Go back over to chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Why, Paul, is not true? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, etc., have all the information, have all the covenants, they have everything, but they don't believe. They don't believe. They got the check to cash, but they never cash it. They know the truth, but they never exercise it. They know the way, but they don't walk it. They don't do it. So, now back over to chapter 9, 10, 11. I could wish myself a lost man if I could save Israel, but you can't, because you didn't save yourself, Paul. God saved you. And so you have no choice in the matter. You can't say, well, I'll be unsaved to save them. And you can't do that. So, chapter 11 again, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. You ought to be understanding of this mystery. What is that that you're going to? Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Not totally, Not total blindness, because then no Jews could get saved. Part. Some Jews will get saved, but not all Jews will get saved. Verse 26. Why are you looking? Why are you concerned? What is it you need to we need to understand? We need to understand what during this age of mystery. Verse 26. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So God, you're going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing, and blindness in part has happened to Israel. They didn't see that. They didn't click in their head. Blindness to what extent they would crucify Christ. The Savior, the King, the Kingdom, he's going to go to the cross. But we didn't see. We're going to send him to the cross. We're going to nail him to the cross. Now, what happens if they didn't? Because of the cross, here's the law. Christ dies to end the law. And so when we, after the cross, in rank full unbelief by Jew and Gentile, God is going to show his grace. He should just clobber them like Nebuchadnezzar, like with Nebuchadnezzar. But he isn't going to do that. No, hang on. Now, get the blindness part. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, and that's the mystery. Mystery. They never conceived that they personally would be the source of Christ's death. It just didn't connect. Second Corinthians, if you can. And if you may pick it up in Second Corinthians and in chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and you will note. 2 Corinthians 3, blindness, and the mystery involves Israel's blindness. And now, getting blindness a little clearer, why are they blind? Because they didn't believe. So chapter 3, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, 2 Corinthians is written, until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ died to end the law, and he made for righteousness. Verse 15, but even unto this day, even Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now they needed to believe, but they weren't believing. All the way, they still aren't believing. They still aren't believing. Not yet. Shouldn't they? Sure they should, but they didn't. They aren't doing that. So now, therefore, keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing in the prophets. And all of them were there, and they should certainly have believed as we share together. And sliding over to connect that a little better, chapter 4, and picking up in verse 3. But if our good gospel, the good news, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Back over to chapter 3, verse 14, their minds were blinded. Why did the devil have such a heyday? They weren't believing. And if you don't believe, you don't see. You don't have sight. You don't have understanding. So therefore, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, reason, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And what were they failing to believe? They were failing to believe, verse 6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They should have believed. Now, and God's going to show them a sign. A sign. The sign of an empty cross and an empty tomb. He's going to show them a sign. They want a sign. Hang on. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 23 and tie some more information that will help us. Matthew chapter 23, and you remember, our Lord reminds the Jewish people in Israel. At the time, he reminds them of their history. Now, it maketh a blindness in part, they don't want to believe. They have everything, they could read it, hanging on the wall, but they didn't believe it. So, chapter 23, picking up, if I may, going, if I can, to verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because what? You build the tombs of the prophets and make little memorials and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and you have special burial and special markers for the saints. But, and you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, this is the Lord talking to the Pharisees, etc. Wherefore, be ye witnesses unto yourselves. What, about what? That you are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, ye generations of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood which shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as an hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would never do it. I tried to tell you from Moses all the way down. I've been trying to tell you, and you just don't believe as a nation as you need to. They just didn't do it. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, please, in the light of that, you're in Matthew, good. Matthew chapter 3. Let's add something else. Yeah, Matthew chapter 3, and picking up, as you know, and in chapter 3, going, if I can, sliding down the days of John the Baptist, sliding down to verse 2. And John was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, here's John the Baptist pointing to Christ and telling you the kingdom is at hand. Here is the king. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here's the king. Believe him. Then you got Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Over now, chapter 4. And you see, what does the Lord Jesus do? He comes along, and his ministry is with Jeremiah, with John. Chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is telling you, I'm here. Now, why don't you just believe me, and I'll be your king if you believe. But you don't believe. You don't believe. You don't believe. No, you need it. You're resting. You're resting in your own state of unbelief, and you should not be doing that at all. So now, having said that, and you're in Matthew, add some more information. Chapter 13. All we're doing is filling in, so you what? You can see that the Jews are telling you the mystery is that Jews don't believe, and they went and crucified Christ. Now, chapter 13, how did they see the Lord Jesus? They didn't see him as a king. It's true they tried to make him a king, John chapter 6, because he fed and healed them. Account of that, but that's the only time. Now, so in chapter 13, if I can, verse 53, this is at the Lord Jesus has finished the parables, chapter 13, and then he says, after giving all these parables, verse 53, and it came to pass, 13:53, and it came to pass, that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. They just didn't believe. They didn't believe. And you know, if you read in Matthew, you could turn there now. Hold your finger right in Matthew and go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and just tie them together in your mind. What was the problem? It was impossible for a man to house God. God could never be in a man like that. Never. Never happened. Well, the world didn't believe it, and certainly the Jews said it didn't believe it. No, hang on. So, chapter 10, and you remember, in verse 33, in the light of the context, I'll read verse 12 for the context. Chapter 10, verse 32, for the context. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. From which of those works do you stone me? And Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And remember all the references we've done, so you see it. They just would not, could not. It was just... He kept telling him he was God, and they just couldn't believe it. So therefore, back over to Matthew, and Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, if I can, and you will note, chapter 27, verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands in front of them before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children, and still today. Blindness, and they're paying a price. Paying a price. They don't want it. So, be it on our own head. And so therefore, having said that little bit, now, having said that, and we did all those things, back over to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, or chapter 1 better. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And they yell, crucify him, crucify him. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. What were they doing? For the preaching, chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Again, verse 21, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, verse 22, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks, the Gentiles seek after wisdom. And we shared together, started in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 40, the Lord Jesus said, the only sign I am going to give to the Jew. You keep asking for signs. I've been giving you signs for 3 1/3 years. And you still don't believe. The only sign I'll give you is the sign of an empty tomb, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the great fish. So shall I be in the heart of the earth, and I will rise again. That's the only sign I'm going to give you. And all you're going to be able to, I'm going to show it to 500. I'm going to show 500 people at once that I'm resurrected, but I'm not going to show it to you. You will never see my resurrection. You will only find an empty tomb. And I'm only going to show you the resurrection in little people called whosoever's that believe. And I'm going to show you my resurrected life in the heart of a whosoever that believes. That's what I'm going to show you. That's the only sign. But for Gentiles, wisdom. Think of Romans 1 without turning there. In 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now you got that part. Now, God, what are you doing with us? We're a mystery. We have a stewardship. The blindness in part has happened to Israel. And they're looking for something, but they aren't finding anything because they're looking in the wrong way, in the wrong places. So therefore, God, we're looking for, over, if I can, in the light of all of that, in Ephesians, if I can, and you'll catch it. God, what are you doing? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. I'm going to destroy your wisdom. You say it's stupid what I did. Boy, are you going to be sorry about that. Now, how are you going to be sorry? Because I'm going to take little whosoever's, Jew and Gentile, the boy or girl, the man or woman that will believe. And I'm going to save them magnificently and differently in a real sense. Thus, what are we doing? Ephesians, picking up, please, chapter 3. You'll remember it. I'm going to read verse 9, a little context. And to make all men see, what is the, this is chapter 3, verse 9, Ephesians. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. God didn't tell anybody what he was doing, only to a point. Verse 10, to the intent purpose that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, what? The manifold wisdom of God. You say it's foolishness. I'm going to take little old people and do a wonderful work in their life that you couldn't even dream of. I'm going to be their God in a wonderful way that you never have had. You had an opportunity, you rejected it. And in your blindness, I am going to do this and take a little heart and give them perfect peace. I'm going to give them love. I'm going to be to them what you couldn't dream of. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show the wisdom. I'm going to make you all smart people. I'm going to put you to shame. Because you don't have any of it. You'll remember without turning there in Acts chapter 4 and that, why they got all upset with the apostles in their preaching. Because they weren't preaching about God. God did this, God did that. No, they were, what were they doing? They were showing the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. And they preached the resurrection. You know, John 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, thou shalt believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that what? God hath raised him from the dead. The idea. I want to do that. And they're going to be little lights in the darkness about life. In the midst of all humans having death, spiritual death, no relationship to God. These whosoevers have a relationship to God. That's awesome. We don't see it. Even us guys, people that are saved. But we need to getting a handle on it so that we experience being saved. We enjoy being saved. We are glad we're saved. And we go for it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you can, so looking to God to outwork this mystery in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and God is going to show his wisdom as only he can, and only in the way that he can. So, over now, if you can, over to the book of Colossians. And in Colossians, and in chapter 1. Remember, mysteries all over in the epistles, etc. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, not just sitting on the throne. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, who we don't believe that he really, really saves in the really, he doesn't really save in the way he saves. He does. He really does. He saves us. He died on the cross. God in the flesh was crucified for you and for me, for us. He died for me. He took my penalty on Calvary's cross, buried it, the gospel. And he rose again to give me his life, not my life, his life. so that I can walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Now, having said that a little bit, Colossians chapter 1, sliding over if I can, picking up, please, in verse 5. Colossians 1 and 5. Yeah, 5. For the hope, read verse 4. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the wonderful expectancy, anticipation of the future. The Jews, where did that go? I'm looking out now at around my world, the same as your world. The Jews don't have that. Oh, there are some Orthodox Jews that are looking to try to get the temple back and hopefully everything get back. But they have no sense of it, understanding it as they need to. It involves the Lord Jesus Christ, who they crucified. And they just don't believe. They just don't believe. So therefore, they're paying a price. And God tells them, you don't have any hope. You don't have any hope. And think of the Jews and Protestants, Catholics, all of them, Muslims. All of them have the theory and the lessons, and they all got the little Quran and the science of mind and each thing. Got all your little books. We got the books. And we read. And some dedicated people are in those groups, Buddhist and otherwise, that read and study the Quran in really detail. And the Bible, that's very good. But you know what? They have no connection with God. They have no connection with God. Nope, we got all of that. But no God. We don't have God. We got a lot of information, but it's no good to us. No good to us. If I was going to be a Mormon and be a Mormon and join the Mormon thing for whatever reasons, and I'm going to be able to have my own planet with all the women I want. That's one of the rewards. You know, that's what you can have. You know. But that's none of it's real. Nothing's real. It's all make believe. Yeah. It's no good. So, verse 25. God has given us this hope. Wherefore, verse 25, chapter 1, Colossians. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation, the stewardship of God, which is the grace of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul was given this wonderful ministry to make it known. That's why we're reading it. That's why he wrote it. That's why God gave it to us. Verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Not among the Jews, among the Gentiles. The Jews aren't believing. Blindness has happened. So we're emphasizing the Gentiles at this point. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is, the Jews should be believing Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus, his humanity, to die on the cross, to make possible his deity, Christ, to come into your heart. He had to die for your sin and mine to make possible God to have that relationship to God that he died on the cross for. To have the relationship, I received Jesus Christ, my Savior, who paid the price for my sin. And when I receive Who am I receiving? I'm receiving Christ, the living God, Jesus Christ. What is the mystery? The mystery in this case among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, God in you. No. The Jews said, nah, it can't be. And they don't believe. The world doesn't believe. Foolishness of preaching. God said, I'm going to show you. I didn't die on the cross for nothing. It cost me my son when I went to the cross. So don't play games with it. And when I died on the cross, I took your sins in my body for 3 hours, noon to three. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God said, I judged the perfect humanity of Christ, which I was attached to. I separated, as it were, and he bore all by his lonesome, as perfect man, your sin and mine in totality in his own body. He did that. That's awesome. So when you play with it, that's how he died. No, it's not a loop. It's an awesome thing. Hang on. We'll get it. You're going to get there. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, Colossians 1, 25, 26, 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the wonderful, wonderful expectancy, the wonderful, wonderful surety of all that God is going to do in the way that he's going to do it. And since you're in Colossians to see it, over in Colossians, and look at verse 27 to see verse 27, verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28, whom we preach, which is what we try to share with each other. Warning. Why warning? Every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. They may say, preaching of the cross is foolishness. No wisdom. The Gentiles want wisdom. No. You believed. When you believed, I gave you sight. When you had sight, you had understanding. When you could see, you could understand. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that purpose we may present every man, woman, boy, girl, perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. To present them perfect, blameless. That's what we want to do. I die for every sin. They have an old nature, they live in it. They got an old nature they live with. But I'm going to present them faultless, faultless, blameless. That's what I'm going to do. And therefore, Paul, therefore I labor, verse 29, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And so therefore, Paul, that's why you wrote, that's why you drive home the point, that's why we're reading it. That's why we're seeking to understand it. And in chapter 2, sliding down to verse 3, verse 2, that their hearts might, believers, that their hearts might be comforted, knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, in that mystery, in that person, in the person of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where they are. You got it all. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Hebrews, the hope, over to Hebrews. As you would know, God, Christ in you, God in you, the hope, God in you, the hope, H-O-P-E, expectancy. Christ, God, the hope. Now, as you do this, think of the Old Testament, if you were an Old Testament person and you were a believer. believing. And you're looking for the kingdom. You're looking for the tribulation. You're looking out there and knowing that God, someday we're going to get there, and the resurrection, I am the resurrection of the life. And hopefully God will get there. We'll get there. We'll look. Okay. Now here we are. Here we are sitting here talking, sharing with each other. Now, so therefore, God, what are you going to do in your most wonderful, wonderful way, the way that you do it? You're going to go and help us understand a wonderful, wonderful relationship we're to have to you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and by the way, that's the message. The message. If you're still in Colossians, go over to chapter 4, and you'll see it again. Chapter 4, Colossians. I'll pick it up in verse 2. 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for us. What are we praying for, Paul? That God would open unto us a door of utterance. In other words, we want to tell the world the gospel, the good news. At least they're going to say, at least we gave it to them. Whether they reject it or not, it's up to them. We will pray also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance, speaking, to speak the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, for which I am also in bonds, prison at the time, in Rome. That's now. Back over to Hebrews. And you would remember Hebrews, that in chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're looking at that little Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the expectancy, the anticipation. Now we aren't Old Testament believers. We're here right, as believers. And we're trying to understand what God has made known that was a mystery. It isn't a mystery anymore. We're to fully understand our relationship to God, to fully understand it. Therefore, Hebrews in chapter 6, in the light of the context, picking up I can, in verse 8, but that, in other words, you want to keep your heart right with God. You want to be abiding. You want to be a fruit. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose hand is to be burned. In other words, we don't want to do the wrong way, not abiding. We need to be believing better, but we need to believe. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Sliding down to verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The hope. Hang on. It's expectant. We're expecting. We're looking. We're expecting. Hang on to it. Okay. Sliding down verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show, to make it clear, to so you'd understand, to show unto the heirs of promise, us guys, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. He made a promise and gave an oath. Who's he going to give an oath to? Himself. To hold the hope set before you. Verse 18, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You already, hang on. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. And here's your little ship bouncing in the sea of life. And they got an anchor. The storms are coming. The storms are there. But the anchor is way down, locked in to keep you from drifting and going, getting carried away. God, what have you done? I've anchored you. Christ in you. Down, this anchor goes down, locks it in. Christ in you, and Christ there. The other end of Christ. Christ in you, and Christ there. And he holds you here. He holds you here. He holds you there. Doesn't he? My anchor, we sing it. My anchor holds. It's locked. I'll read it. You got it. Verse 19, which we hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Wherefore the forerunner is, for us is entered. Who did that? Jesus, made and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God's wonderful, wonderful keeping. Now, I hope you got a little bit. The Old Testament saints, they blessed their heart. They looked, but they had no way to comprehend in this for the rest of the Jewish people that they were going to reject Christ. They were going to crucify Christ. They just couldn't believe that. They wouldn't even think of it. It didn't even occur to them because they didn't believe that God could really be made flesh, that God could be born in Bethlehem of Judea, that Jesus Christ, John 1:14, became flesh and dwelt among us in all the fullness of God, for us to know the grace of God. Now, over in closing, over to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, you will note, Acts chapter 1. Now here, after his resurrection, our Lord, after his resurrection, watch, chapter 1, may it go directly, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? In other words, they're looking like Old Testament saints should. Looking, are you going to make Israel the kingdom? Kingdom. Now, they're going to understand Pentecost will have to happen, Acts chapter 2, etc. And God is going to raise up in his grace the church. But now, in Acts chapter 1, and verse 7. How did Jesus answer them? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not for you to know that. God knows that. God gives you in his mysteries, and your stewardship is to handle those, an understanding of how it's going to go, and looking to God and live accordingly. So when we come to verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. I'm going to do. And in the meanwhile, if you keep reading down 9, 10, and 11, what are they going to do? Verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into heaven, said the angel. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So God, what are we doing? Here's everything, all these wonderful things that are going to happen. And Christ in you makes them happen. Christ as God makes them all happen. There's no time to God, and God in his wonderful will has everything in order. Where? In your heart. You received him. And God, who who's running the universe happens to find his home in your heart. And he's running the universe. So God, I don't know any of the timings, except what? You told me to keep looking for your imminent, soon, blessed hope, Titus, your soon return. As they saw him go up, they were to wait for him to come back. In the meantime, God, in the heart, has all of it in order. Right time, right place, right way. Everything, everything about your life and mine, God has it. I don't know it. I have, like James 4, you don't know tomorrow, do you? No, you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to do this. No, don't. God, James says, don't do that. Sufficient of the day, Matthew 6, is the evil thereof. Don't ask for tomorrow's troubles. I just want you to go one day at a time. That's all I ask you to do. And I have all the other days marked out. And you're going to say, what's going to happen? God said, I'm in charge of the timing for everything. So just sit tight. And you don't have to sit like a Jew and say, when's the kingdom coming? Should I build the temple? Should I prepare this? How should I do this? All of it's going to get loused up. So therefore, the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the wonderful, wonderful wisdom of God to help you to be a knower in a world around you that wishes they knew. And you already are the knower because you know the knower. Because you know, why do you know? Because you know the knower. That's why you know. And you're as safe as can be. Safe as can be. And that's why God said, one day at a time, live it and relax. I'm in charge. Everything's going to be just like I said, in my time. So relax. I think that's wonderful. How do I know that? I don't know it. Christ in me does. And Christ in me is God. That's why I know.